Shalom Aleichem. We're going to examine today a little bit of where I think, at any event, is Zamalek's view of the creator-man relationship. And then I think we need to ask ourselves after that, what exactly is our view? So let's take a look. I think it'll join together, actually, both the Parsha Shavua Tetzaveh, to one degree or another, with Parsha Zohar, which we know is this week, Shabbos before Purim. And I think it'll give us a greater insight into both Parshios and perhaps what sort of part of our avoda should be on this Purim and in general. Pasuk says, going to Bishalach. Now, this is not what we're going to read this week, is the Maftir. This is Parshas Bishalach. This is the story of what actually transpired in the war with Amalek prior to Matan Torah. And there it says, this actually will be read, though, on Purim during the day. Right? Parshas Zohar is from Parshas Kiseitze. That's the mitzvah of Zechiras, Mechias Amalek, etc. That's meant to be read prior to Purim, and on Purim during the day, we read the piece from the Parsha in Bishalach. There in Bishalach it says, "Vayomer ki yad al keis ka milchama l'Hashem b'malek midor dor." After the relating the Maisa itself as how Amalek attacked us, and then in turn Moshe Rabbeinu summoned Yoshua to fight against Amalek, etc. And there it concludes with "Vayomer." Ki yad al keiska milchama l'Hashem b'malek midor dor. The yad, right? Whose yad remains to be seen? Al keis. What does keis mean? Ka of the shem yud kei milchama l'Hashem b'malek midor dor. So Rashi explains that the yad al keiska is the hand of Hashem, and the kisei, the throne of Hashem, kisei kavod. So it's written chaser keis. And the shem yud kei is written instead of the full shem yud kei vav kei, right? The shem ha'etzem, to tell us that Hashem swears that until Amalek is destroyed, both his kisei, neither his kisei nor his throne nor his name are complete. Okay, that's where Rashi learns it. The Netziv, however, right, the Amek Dover, quotes a medrash, a psikta. And this psikta has a different explanation, and I think for our purposes over here, we're going to go with the psikta's perish on this pasuk. The psikta understands ki yad al keis ka, the yad that's being referred to over here is not the yad of Hashem, but it's the yad lahavdil lufi avdolos of Amalek. And the word keis is not a contraction of kisei or a shortening or bridging of it without the aleph at the end, but rather it's miloshem kisui, to cover. Ki yad al keis ka, the hand of Amalek covers the shem yud kei. And then Steve explains that what this means is as follows. Mashalamah Davadova, and he explains the Medrash, to a disgusting individual who, when the king wishes to address his people, and he's come to address them, this person erects a screen or his hand, he sticks it in front of the face of the king, so as though he cannot see. In other words, ki'ilu telling the people, you cannot see the king, and the king does not see you. The king does not see you. And that's Amalek's approach. And the Netziv explains this to mean as follows. We know the Gemara Menachos teaches us, I don't want to get too lost in the roundabouts, upon the pasuk that says, "Bitchu b'Hashem adayad ki beko Hashem tzur olami." This is a Gemara in Daf Chavtes in Menachos. And it says, "Bitchu b'Hashem adayad," one should place one's trust in a Kodesh Baruch Hu forever and ever, "ki beko Hashem tzur olami." For Hashem has created the worlds with the Hashem Yud Kei. Yud and Hey. And the brief synopsis of this idea is that Olam Haba is created with the Os Yud, and Olam Hazeh is created with the Os Hey. Olam Haba is created with the Os Yud. Many explanations to it, but certainly one the Gemara speaks about most clearly is that Yud is small, and so too the number of people who are in Olam Haba compared to those who have all walked the face of the earth, those who have a chelik in Olam Haba, are few in number, compared to those who have walked the face of the earth. And the Yud, his head is bent in humility, just as all those who are in Olam Haba stand in humility before the Creator. It's the Os Yud. The Os He, the letter He. So we know the letter He is pretty cool. It's got a top, it's got a side, it's got another side, and the bottom, as it were, is open, and actually on the left-hand side of the letter, as we look at it, there appears to be an aperture between the left-hand leg and the ceiling of the Os, right? Right. The reason for that is, says the Gemara, is that Olam Hazeh is created like an achsadra prutza, like an open, you know, porch or portico or entranceway, right, where it's bounded on three sides, and there's an opening at the bottom. And the long and short of it is that a person, really, if he sees himself in this world as being bounded by Hashem's will, so then that's where he lives. He lives in accordance with the idea that he's surrounded by Hashem's will. If, however, he decides for himself that he's only going to look towards the bottom, the opening, the large aperture in the bottom of the hay, and he says, look, that's party time, and he drops out the bottom. When eventually he realizes at one point or other the folly of his ways, so then he can rise up again at the top and come in through the aperture between the left-hand leg and the ceiling. That's called the route of tshuva. This is all basically in the Gemara there in Menachos. Why can't he go back up the way that he came? Because tshuva is not natural. In the natural world, once it's broken, you can't fix it. Right? The gazelle that leans over a brackish pool of water that's collected during a drought season near the Zambezi, he leans over inside to get some water. He's terribly thirsty, and all of a sudden, right, a crocodile has his head between the crocodile's jaws. He can't say it was a mistake, it was an error, it was poor judgment, I won't do it again, I can't. He's lunch. Right? There's no undoing mistakes, even. Certainly not something that's done, you know, with malice and forethought. There's no undoing it. Tshuva is beyond the world of Teva, and therefore one cannot go up the way one came, one way went down, one descended, and there has to be another aperture that comes in between the left-hand leg and the ceiling, and that is the route of tshuva. So the Gemara says, so this world, Olam Hazeh, is created through the Os Hei, that which it symbolically and metaphorically represents, and the Os Yud is the source of Olam Haba. What about the last two letters of Hashem's name? So again, we're speaking it from the vantage point of the Netziv. The Vav and the He, in the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei, the Vav and the He represent Hashem's Hashgacha, His providence. The Vav representing Hashem's providence in what the Netziv refers to as Derech HaTiferes, right? A providence which is recognizable in its miraculous intervention. Right? And the final hey of Hashem's name is Bederech HaMalchus. In other words, where the Hashem's providence, his Hashgacha, is cloaked in what appears to be Teva. Right? Albeit that it is in response and it is in sync with our connection with Torah and Mitzvot, but it looks like Teva. So the Vav and the Hey. Says the Nesiv, that's precisely the point of Amalek. And that is, you want to believe there's a Yud and a Hey? Fine, you know, got no problems with that necessarily, right? Religion is the opiate of the people. You want to believe that there's a creator, terrific. You want to believe there's an afterlife, you know, heaven, miracle on 34th Street, however you want to portray it. That's fine, okay, but he's not involved in our lives. He's not involved in our lives, right? He's not involved in our lives. That's the Vav and the Hey. And that's, you know, that's what appears to come from the Parsha of Beshalach that describes the battle between Amalek and Klal Yisrael. Mitzad Sheni, we know that the Gemara in Megillah on Yud Gimel Beis describes a statement that Haman made to Achashverosh in Per Gimel of the Megillah. It says, "Vayomer Haman l'Melach Achashverosh, Yeshno Am Echad Mefuzar Mefurad Bein Amim." Says the Talmud in Megillah, explaining this pasuk. What did Haman mean when he said Yesh no Am Echad? Says Amar Rava. So says Rava. Rava explains. Leika the Yada Lishna Bisha Kehaman. There was no one who was a greater master of lashon hara than Haman. Amar Le. Haman said to Achashverosh, you know, Haman is right now is in the process of trying to buy the rights to destroy the Jewish peoples, Aser, Safim, Kikar, Kesef, 1,000 talents of silver. 10,000 talents of silver. Right? And he says to Achashverosh, let's destroy them. Ta, become Renko v'nichlinu, let's destroy the Jewish people. Amar le, Achashverosh said, Mistafina me'elokav, I am concerned, I'm afraid, yeah, of their God. The lo avid bi kido avid bekamoi. I don't want to happen to me what has happened to predecessors who have tried to start up the Jewish people. Be they, I don't know, Paro, be they the kings, the 31 kings of Eretz Canaan, even Bovel and Savusin, would call it, you know, Nebuchadnezzar in subsequent generations, or in the interim, Sisra, etc. I'm not interested in becoming Fratara. I see that whoever starts up with them, in the end, it's not good. They have a time period with which they're successful, but at the end, bottom line is, it's not good. Haman says to him, yeah, Amale Yashnu ben Amitzos. That's the Chazal's interpretation of Haman saying, Yeshno Amechad, Yashnu ben Amitzos. They're asleep from the Mitzos. In other words, their fulfillment of the Mitzos is lacking. Even if they're perfunctorily performing the mitzvahs, it's precisely that. It's perfunctory actions. They're mitzvahs anashim milamada. They're doing things by rote. There's no fire in it. They're not excited by it. They're like, okay, I'll do it. Yeah. Shver tzayin yid. It's difficult to be a Jew. And they go and they do it. Etc. Yoshnu min ha-mitzvos. Yoshnu min ha-mitzvos. In addition to Yashnu Min HaMitzvos, there's also that which Rav Tzorek says on the words Mefuzar Meforad Vina Amim, that they are without any Achdus. There's no unity amongst them. We know that, as Ramak teaches us, Moshe Kodavera teaches us, that the Yisod of Shechinta Begalusa is Sinas Chinam, is pure between the Shemos. They don't care for each other. Each one's hand out for itself. They could care less, etc. So Haman, as it were, allays Achashverosh's fears. I'm afraid to start up with the Jews because I don't want to happen to me what's happened to predecessors who have tried to, as it were, persecute the Jews from Paro onward. I'm not interested in this. And Haman says, "Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. They're not in a state where their God is going to come there for them, because after all, they're asleep from the mitzvahs, and their relationship to the Creator is extremely perfunctory. It is very, very much done by rote." And on the other hand, their relationship with one another is also very, okay, fine, you like pickles, I like pickles, right? Jewish pickle style pickles, etc. But there's no real concern for one another. Now, what's going on here? Now, you could say that Rick Bolton and Siv has a different view than, I don't know, Sorokor. I don't know, you get a little bit different takes in Chazal, but you wouldn't think, I think it's preferable to try and make some order here. So do they believe that Hashem is not involved in man's affairs? He doesn't see? Not because he's incapable of seeing, because he's not interested in seeing. It doesn't really call it. They don't realize that the more that you say that nothing, no matter how small it is, beyond Hashem's purview, is really a greater recognition of how great Hashem is. Right? And there's nothing too big or too small, because it's all relevant, big and small. He is the Creator. Everything is a creation. So is that his problem, is that he doesn't recognize that? If that be the case, then he doesn't believe in it. So why isn't he telling, Achashverosh, here, listen, get a grip. But Achashverosh, don't be neurotic. God's not involved in our affairs. No, he doesn't say that. He says, don't worry about it. He won't get involved, because they're asleep from the mitzvahs, and they're not attached to one another. I dare say these are really two sides of the same coin. The assumption is that there's no point in God being involved, because that would require an attachment on the part of man to the expectations of the Creator that man is incapable of doing. It is a failed experiment. And therefore, there's no point in his looking on upon us. There's no point in his providence based upon our actions. He'll make an earthquake, he'll make a tsunami, that's his business, but to relate to our actions, man is incapable of that. I think that's really the bottom line over here, and therefore he is not involved. So it's not like he can't see, right? Or he chooses not to see. There's no point in him seeing, because man is very natural. Man is a creature of survival of the fittest. He can't do more than that. And I dare say that this is the approach of all those who either oppose or falsify Judaism. All the religions, as it were, that attempt to make Judaism, Yahadus, more appealing to pagan masses of one sort or another. They pick and choose the things they think that they can convince their audience. Right, this is pretty cool. This is the new evolution, the new stage in the evolution of Judaism. Right, it could be Christendom, it could be Islam, etc. And the rest of the stuff is not important. It's not necessary. It's not necessary because they're trying to water it down to make it, in what in their view appears to be more appealing and more doable for a regular person. But then you've created your own religion, really. It's not the one that Hashem has given over to us. So I think that's precisely the point with Haman. Precisely the point with Haman, precisely the point with Hamolek. I think that's the story, that's the issue. So let's continue now. In contrast to that, who are we? Who are we potentially? Who are we capable of? Right? What's Hashem's relationship with us? What's our relationship with Him? So now let's examine. Beginning of our parsha here, Tetzaveh. First pasuk. V'ata tetzaveh es b'nei Yisrael v'yikhoi lecha shemen zayin zach kasis l'maor la'alos ner tamid. The mitzvah of Klal Yisrael bringing, right, pure oil to be given to Moshe Rabbeinu so that it could be supplied for the menorah, which would be lit by Aaron. Says the Malbim, "Lo nishalon rak ladas, lama hifsik b'tzivui zeh." After all, in last week's parsha, we discussed the structure of the Mishkan, the kelim, right, the vessels of the Mishkan. In this week's parsha, the discussion is about the big day kahuna. Why, smack dab in the middle, the very beginning of our parsha here, do we separate between the kelim of the Mishkan, the vessels which comprise the structure of the Mishkan, and the big day kahuna? He says, "Lama hifsik b'tzivui zeh," says the Malbim, "bein ma'ase ha-mishkan v'kelev v'bein ma'ase b'gdi kahuna. Ki ilu hakdama l'mleches ha-begadim." It would appear that the Torah is giving us a prologue, a preview, right, to mull over before we enter into the world of the begadim. V'cheinu be'ha-emes. And the fact is, this is true. That's exactly what it's doing. Shalefi ma'ash nevayer. Sheikar tziv ulevishas abegadim hamukudashim yirmos el taras amidos vahadeos shem bigdi hanefesh. Exquisite lashon. The Balbi uses here. Balbi says that the concept of bigdi kahuna is to reflect the coin godel, the coin hedget, but certainly the coin godel, recall, with all eight begadim that he wears, is meant to be in representative of Klal Yisrael in the purity of worldview, of deos, and midos, of personal conduct. And that's why each one of the begadim, right, as you see in the footnote, each one of the begadim, also from the Malbim he brings from Chazal, right, from that each one of the begadim, as it were, is mechaper, cleanses a different aspect. It could be Hirhurim Rayim, it could be recorded with Sicha record, it could be brazenness, it could be abuse of justice, it could be Lashon Hara, all different, each one of the Kalim, as it were, each one of the Begadim is meant, as it were, to clothe the Kohen, right? And as Chazal says, note down below, over here in the footnote, right? The pasuk says, "V'lavash hakohen midovad." The terminology used for the clothing, anybody's clothing, in this case, talking about the kohen's clothing, is mad, mem dalet, or mido, his clothing, right? His clothing. The clothing of a person is mad. the external physical clothing of a person is called mad. The clothing of a person's soul are called midos. Beautiful midos clothe the pure soul. So therefore this becomes, right, this becomes the as it were, the passageway in the structure of the Mishkan. As remember, we spoke about before, and the Malbim speaks about in Parshas Truma, that the structure of the Mishkan is like the structure of binding together all of Klal Yisrael in a metaphorical human form, the Kodesh Kodashim, reflective of the world of the intellect, the Kodesh, right? That's in the place of the where the Aron is, the Aron and the Kruvim and the Kaporis, etc. The world of the Kodesh, the Heichal, the second section of the Mishkan, is representative of the world of the cardiovascular, the lungs, the, what we call it, the heart, etc. The courtyard with the Mizbeach and Achoshis with all the korbanos upon it is reflective of the gastrointestinal. The Mishkan was built, says the Malbim in the Tzuras Adam. And now when we address the Kohanim and the Kohanim's clothing, and especially the Kohen Gadol's clothing, as our representative, right, in the service conducted that's meant to represent all of Klal Yisrael in the Mishkan, he clothes himself in begadim that are reflective of purity of midos. The hakdama to this, says the Malbim, Tzarech Litzarev Ileth Hashemen HaKadosh, right? The holy oil, the oil that will be used, as it were, to light, right, to light the menorah. Koshikosu, b'chol eis yu begadecha levanim. One's clothing, as it says in Kohelet, should always be white, pure, one's midos. V'shemen aroshcha v'al yechsa shotzalom, she bigdia nefesh he midoseha. The clothing of the soul, which are midos, person's personal conduct, right, etc., his expression of what he calls his attributes. Utchonaseh yulavanim mikol chalav v'shimtza, they should be cleansed of any impurity, of any stain. V'shemen al yechsem al roshcha, rosho v'zeh k'mo shekosav ha-melit ha-bedershi, right, one of the philosopher poets of Provence. A Torah of Adam. This is what he says. He lived in the 1200s, right? The 1200s of what do you call it? To 1300, whatever. A Torah of Adam, chiburam hu ner Elokim ba'aretz. The connection of the Torah and man is like the connection of the ner Elokim ba'aretz, the light of Hashem upon the earth. Torah hu lahav mispard mishviv ha-yoshev v'shamayim. The Torah, as it were, is a flame that comes from the Rabbon Shalom in Shamayim. V'adam, and the person, b'shnei chalokav, is physical and is spiritual, are like the avuka shoeves oro, right? They are like the, what do you call it, the combination of the as it were, the wick. Gevo psila nifteles. His body is like the twisted wick, nishmaso shemen zayis, and his soul is like the shemen zayis. And therefore, we say, the Torah tells us, tell Bnei Israel to bring the shemen to Moshe. He should purify it. He should purify it. He should purify us, so that we can be the menorah. We can be the menorah, as it were, that gives the light of Hashem here down on earth. That is our job description. Our job description is to be a menorah, right? A menorah that reveals the light of Hashem higher down on the earth. For this we need impeccable midos. For this we need true deos view, a true worldview, a worldview based upon the emes of the Torah, and our affect and conduct should be incredibly pure without any what do you call dross, without any impurities. So now, this is not only in the Mishkan, but here's a Sfas Emes that tells us this is true in all generations, always for us. Hashem has implanted Kedusha inside of us, and our job description is to cause that Kedusha to be revealed. You hear? Hashem has implanted Kedusha inside of us, and our job description is to cause this Kedusha to be revealed, to cause Hashem's presence in the world through mitzvot to be revealed in the world. So Sfas Emes says, a On the Nusach, we say in every brach, Birchas HaMitzvah, Asher Kedishanu B'mitzvosav V'tzivanu. Asher Kedishanu B'mitzvosav, says the Sfas Emes, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has inherently placed Kedushas HaMitzvos inside of Klal Yisrael. We have the capacity to reveal Hashem's presence to the world. The word mitzvah itself, Mefarshim says, Miloshon Tzavta, Tzadi Vav Vav Tof Aleph, Tzavta. Right? Not Tzavta, granny. Tzavta with a Tzadi. Tzadi, Vav, Vav, Tof, Aleph. The word mitzvah is to be together with Hashem. We reveal, right? We bring out Hashem's presence to the world through fulfillment of mitzvahs. Fulfillment of mitzvahs. And that Kedusha, that ability, the Kedushas of mitzvahs is implanted inside of us. It's inside of us. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Vitzivanu. And He commanded us now to do this action. Do this pe'ula. Called the Asiyas HaMitzvah, told the fulfillment, the doing of the mitzvah, in order to reveal that which is inherently inside of us. So here we have a clash. This is why HaMolech hates us. This is why the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, one of their favorite phrases, they tormented and tortured, right, and murdered the Jews. Filthy Jews, where is your God? He reinforcing their belief. See, if there were God, He would intervene for them. He would intervene for them. We're not coming to question Chesbon Shemayim now, but this—that is right. That's their claim to fame. That is their right, their way of being. That's their worldview. That's their Weltanschauung. Right? Called filthy Jews. Where is your God? You see, He's not here for you, because to say that the Creator is connected to mortal man is not capable. Mortal man is not capable. The Klosenberger Rebbe, upon being beaten once by a Nazi, the Nazi said to him, right, surely you don't believe any longer you're the chosen people. And the Klosenberger Zechatzadik B'Kodesh Baruch Hu said, on the contrary, I'm more convinced of it, and I'm glad that I'm a Jew. He says, you're glad you're a Jew? I'm stepping on your head, and you're glad that you're a Jew? He says, yes, because if I weren't a Jew, God forbid, I could have been like you, perhaps. The recognition of the Kedusha that's inside, be able to do that, to be able to say that, after all that he went through, is beyond the ability of a simple person like me to be able to wrap my head around it. But he did it. He did it. Lots of Jews who were very big did it. Right? And we certainly can't judge those who didn't do it, because Hashem should spare us. We should never be in a situation like that. But these are the two worldviews. Is man capable of bringing Hashem's presence to the world, thereby implicitly declaring, of course Hashem has a relationship with us. We have a job description. Our job is to reveal Him in the world. And of course, it's reciprocal. He in turn is there for us. Do we always understand why and how He's doing things? No, but we know in essence that He's there for us. We have the capacity, the Kedusha built inside of us. Every mitzvah is meant to reveal that. And of course, the Malach says, it's a failed experiment. It can't be. Further, we saw before, we said there were two parshios that deal with the Malach in the Chumash. One is the parsha of where he attacks us in Parshas B'Shalach and Sefer Shmos. And one is that which we will read this week, right? Parshas Zohar from Parshas Kiseitze in Sefer Devarim. In Shmos it says, "Vayom Hashem Moshe k'sov zol zikaron b'sefer." Write this down, right? Remember, in the book of the Torah, v'sim bazne Yehoshua, and place it clearly in the years of Yehoshua. That needs its own explanation. Why dafka this? Ki macho emche zeicher amalek mitach l'shmai. Hashem says, "I will destroy Amalek." Macho emche. Hashem is speaking here. I will destroy. Whereas in Parshas Kiseitze, which we'll read this Shabbos once again, "Vayom niach Hashem l'kecha l'cha mikol levecha," and Hashem, it leaves you, gives you the freedom, etc. You're not to be right, preoccupied with the other nations in the Eretz Israel. Hashem Hashem Elokecha Notzin Loch. Hashem gives to you. Hashem the land. Hashem gives Locha. Nachla as an inheritance. The Rishtot inherit. Right, called to give on to the next generations. Timcha, you destroy Ezechar Amalek. Mitachas Shemayim Lo Tishkach. Destroy them. You destroy them. What's the story? Is Hashem destroying or we destroying? In B'Shalach it says, Machoyim Cheshem says, I will destroy. In Parshas Kiseitze it says, you destroy. It's a mitzvah. So if we destroy him, so what's there left for Hashem to do? What is it? We're saying that only the emcha is only predicated upon our non-fulfillment of the mitzvah. Hard to believe. Says Hashem Yishmuel. B'zei yish l'farish divrei p'sikta. Once again, the priests are back again. Amar la Hakadosh Baruch Hu, asu shelachem timche zecher Amalek v'ani eseh sheli. Kimacho emche zecher Amalek. Hashem Yishmuel explains, right, that we're talking here, right, not only on a physical level, there's a mitzvah, timche zecher Amalek, but there's also a spiritual level. We have to eradicate Amalek from within, inside of ourselves. Amalek is like a disease. Amalek is where it infects us. He doesn't just attack us on the outside, but his worldview, as we saw before, he had a very distinct worldview that stands in diametrically opposed, right, to the worldview of the Torah. Diametrically opposed, and it infects us. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says Hashem Yishmuel, Timche, do the best you can to eradicate him, not just on the outside, but eradicate him on the inside. Even nowadays, where we're not aware of anybody from Amalek per se, we don't know who's an Amalekite, right? Can't walk into somebody's street and say, oh, you must be an Amalekite, and blow them away. We can't. We don't know. But the chiyuv, as it were, to try and eradicate, what I call the poisonous philosophy worldview of Amalek, Hashem is not involved in our lives, that's still incumbent upon us. If not in a structured mitzvah form, but certainly attitudinally, that's our responsibility. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, when you do that, when you struggle to do that, in the end, I will get rid of all the sveikas that unfortunately, right, pop into your mind and invade involuntarily into our psyche, into our worldview. I will finish the job, I'll cleanse you. But you have to start. Timche zecher Amalek. Live right, think right, act right. Right? View the world correctly. View each other correctly. You shouldn't be asleep in the mitzvos. You shouldn't, as it were, have period between you. Struggle, accomplish. And if you do that, then I will, God willing, I will get rid of the virus of Amalek that may have infected you on the inside, which is not within your capacity necessarily to control an idea, an inclination, a thought that comes in. Let's complete our discussion here with going back to Parshas Kisetzi. Zachoras asher asa lachal ma'amalek b'derech hatzeis from Mitzrayim. Asher karcho b'derech v'ayzanem b'cho kol erech asholim acharecha v'ata ayef v'yageya v'lo yirei elokim. So different ways to explain this pasuk. Karcho b'derech b'mikre, right? He cooled you off, etc. in the eyes of the world. Rashi says, v'ata ayef v'yageya, you were tired, you were weak, right? Weary. Vloyer Elohim, Amalek was not God-fearing, so Rashi explains it. But others explain differently. For example, Yechizkuni. Ata yefe yegea. You are yefe yegea. Al titame. Im asa b'cha kach. Don't stand stupefied. How could Amalek possibly attack us and be in any degree successful until, well, sure, fought him off, but initially successful. How can he be successful? Im asa b'cha kach. You were weak and weary from your travels. And in addition, you are not God-fearing, says the Brikot, says the Chizkuni brings from the Medrash. Again, Rashi explains it's going on Amalek, but the Chizkuni explains over here that it's going on us. What exactly is the Ayev Yageya? Right, we're weak. And if we hadn't been weak, and not Yari Lakim, we would have been successful. I understand. Isn't when Hashgacha say that that even if we weren't Ayafi Ageya, but we're not Yirei Elokim, Hashem's aid would not be there for us. It says the Imre Emes. Right? Says the Imre Emes. Tayefi Ageya brings the Medrash. Right? That brings, that cites the Pasuk below. See, Karas Yaakov Ki Agata Bi Yisrael. You're not calling out to me, says Hashem, because you're weary. Like the Zohar says, the person stands all day, right? Yasu Mishtoi Kol Yuma Loloi. Person can sit there and talk and gab nonsense. He doesn't get tired. Kom Litzala Uloi. Times to get davening, the yawns start. The Ayefa Yageya, which is the Imre Emes based upon the Zohar, right? Is what? We're weak in mitzvos. They're not vibrant for us. Yashnu mina mitzvos, like Haman said. Lo yarei elokim, not sufficiently. Yeah, yarei elokim. And therefore that gave a mug to the ability, asher korcha baderach, is able to cool us down. Not just in the eyes of the world, in our own eyes. Hikre oscha, says the Imre Emes. Gam ba'odam atzmo shish lefamim hester shemekarer. He took away from us the capacity to deal when sometimes difficult moments happen. So if we're vibrantly connected to Hashem, we say, it may not be sweet, but I know there's a purpose, and we march onward with strength. But if we're not attached with fire, when these events take place, we just get cooler and cooler and cooler. We get weaker, less vibrant in our mitzvos. We're infected with the virus of Amalek. You can't succeed. What's the point? Why should God be interested in you? You're a failed experiment. The long and short of it is, Amalek doesn't necessarily believe that God is not involved because he's incapable. Right? God is not involved because there's no interest in being involved, because there's no purpose to it. Because man can't live up to the expectations of the Creator. Man cannot be kadosh when the Creator is kadosh. And therefore, right, while Amalek says that God is not involved, as we saw from the Netziv in Parshas Pasalach, Ki Yad Al Kiska, yet when Haman wants to allay the fears of Achashverosh, he says he can't pull it off. Yashnu mina mitzvos. Mefuzar mefrad. There's period between them. Our goal is to know that inherently we have Kedusha inside of us. And that we are able to be transformed into beings of Kedusha, like the Big Dikona testified to. And like the Birchas HaMitzvos testifies to, that Hashem is implanted inside of Sasher Kiddushanu b'mitzvosav, and the mitzvos are there, as it were, to extract that Kedusha that is already embedded inside of us. We can rise to the challenge. We have to believe that we can rise to the challenge. We also have to believe there's something called tshuva too, even when we err, when we stumble, that we can pick ourselves back up again. But Hashem will never, as it were, abandon us. He places his faith in us, kaviyochol, just as we need to place our faith in him. And that is the secret to vanquishing Amalek, or struggling at least to vanquish Amalek, not only from the outside, but from our midst, from our psyche, from our worldview, from our midos. And then Be'ezer Hashem, if we actually struggle to do that, Hashem says, Emche zecher Amalek, I'll finish the job for you. You should have a meaningful Parsha Zohar, Parsha Tetzava, the Shabbos, and a very meaningful Purim. It should be a time of joyousness, but these ideas should be pondered, I think, right, on Purim as well. As the spirits are lifted, or imbibed, as the case may be, or a combination of both, don't forget the lessons that need to be learned as well. Have a Freilich in Purim. Thank you. Good Shabbos.